Good to be back in the house of the Lord once again. Just welcome each and everyone to the service. Looks like many folks are not able to be here tonight, so we want to just give it our all. I'm going to need your help tonight. Amen. Let's raise that key up. What are we playing in tonight? Was it C? Let's bring that up maybe to F. I give my mind. Completely to you, Lord, fill me with your thought, make it all brand new and change my life. Let me live in all that's true. I just want to be like you. So take me and hold me. Teach me to be still. Lead me and guide. My mind completely to you, Lord. Oh, fill me with your thoughts and make it all brand new. Change my life. Let me live in all that's true. I just want to be like you. Oh, take me and hold me. Teach me to be still. Oh, lead me and guide. Your desire. Amen. Let's sing that song, I Stand in Awe of You.
You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. Sing with me now. Oh, I stand in awe of you. Yes, I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to all praise I stand in awe of you.
From the top now.
You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension. Nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description. Oh, majesty enthroned above. Yes, I stand in awe of you. Oh, I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to all praises to I stand in awe of you.
Sing that again.
Oh, yes, I stand in awe of you. And I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to all praises due. I stand in awe of you. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I see. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of my cross, my shame. Rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. And when I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Sing it now like you mean it. Oh, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Sing Jesus, Lamb of God. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Musicians, play something softly. We have several special needs. We want to change the order of our service now and make some of these known before you. I'll let you have your seats for just a moment. I'd like to ask Brother Ethan Pritchard if he would take these needs before the Lord. I want to remember Sister Connie Hughes in prayer. She has an upcoming surgery for her neck. So let's be aware of that and make sure that we hold her up in prayer, that God's hands will be with that surgeon. Amen. Sister Kristen and I believe the baby Annie have the flu. So we want to remember them in prayer as well. Sister Caroline, I want to remember her with the surgery that she has coming up. I believe it's some breathing issue she was having, so let's remember her in prayer, Sister Caroline. I want to remember Brother Wayne in prayer. He's going in for some testing. Let's be praying for some positive feedback from that. Amen. I want to remember the McCafferty's in prayer. Brother Keith was not able to be with us tonight. I believe he had to work, so let's remember him in prayer as well. Sister Jessie Cockman and Brother David, I believe, are not feeling well, so let's remember them in prayer. Brother Jeremy, I believe he is helping to move the family members, so he is traveling at this time. Let's remember them in prayer. I know moving is really hard on your back. I've had to do it many a times. So let's pray God would be with them and just keep everyone safe, that things would go smoothly. Traveling is a very difficult very difficult time under any circumstance. And moving as well, so let's remember him. Sister Mary Smith is requesting prayer as well for special need. All the requests I have at this time. Let's all stand. If you have any unspoken prayer requests, by the uplifted of hands, amen. God knows your needs. Let's just hold those on our heart. Amen. Brother Ethan, you can come at this time.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come to you tonight, Lord, just thanking you for bringing us all here safe. Lord, we just thank you for what you've done for us, Lord. You've given your Son to die for us, Lord, so we can be set free. Lord, we just thank you for the minister, Lord, that's here tonight. Lord, we just ask you to speak through him, touch every heart that's here, Lord. We just ask you to bless all the service, Lord, and every request that's been put here, Lord. We just ask you to go before them all and
that song, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord, QG.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Most High. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into, and they are saved. Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into, they are saved. Sing it now. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into, they are saved. Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into, they are saved. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you know Him. Oh, count the cost. Take up your cross. Follow Him.
Sing it again now.
Oh, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Oh, take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you know Him. Count cause, take up your cross, follow Him.
Amen. Why don't you give Him some praise tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. I'd like to have our deacons come forward at this time. We'll take up our evening offering. I'd like to sing that song, Think About His Love. Amen. Brother Mike Pritchard, would you lead us in prayer, sir?
Think about His love. Oh, think about His goodness. Think about His grace. that's brought us through. Or as high as the heavens above, great is the measure of our Father's love. Oh, great is the measure of our Father's love. Yes, think about His love. Oh, think about His goodness. Think about His grace that's brought us through. Or as high as the heavens above, great is the measure of our Father's love. Oh, our Father's love.
Sing it again now. Hallelujah.
Think about His love.
Let's just worship Him.
Oh, think about His goodness. Think about His grace that's brought us through.
Ready for the word. Let's sing that song, The More That I Surrender.
More that I surrender, the lighter my load. More that I release my cares, the more He takes control. The more that I can humble myself, the more He lifts me up. Every day I live, Lord, I love You more. Yes, now, more that I surrender, the lighter my load.
Let's take your Bibles tonight. Let's go directly to the Word of the Lord. And we're looking in the book of Hosea. Hosea follows Daniel in the Old Testament in the section called the Minor Prophets, which are not in any way trivial. Hosea chapter 4. God bless you all tonight. Thank you for coming and being here tonight. I actually thought about whether we needed to postpone service because we had so much sickness, and the people that have the flu, the influenza flu, have been quite sick, and some have been hospitalized in the church, and some have been mentioned here. So, but I will encourage you to wash your hands tonight, and I'm glad you all came and thought it would be good for us to get together just to study for a little while, just briefly, and also to pray for those that are not here. Josh, turn me up just a shade there if you don't mind. Let's ask His blessing first before we read. Heavenly Father, as we come sincerely as we know how, We invite you, Lord Jesus, just to search our hearts tonight and forgive us of anything, Lord. If there be anything in our hearts and lives that might hinder the moving of the Holy Spirit, Lord, we place it under the blood tonight and just seek your forgiveness. We ask, Lord, that you would just come and anoint our hearts and our thoughts tonight. As we stand before you, Lord, we know there's not a thing in the world that we can hide. And Lord, we just are confident that you care about all that we go through and all of our burdens and personal and private requests that we have. We know, Lord, they're open in your eyes. And so, Lord, we just bind our faith together with all of these needs that are written down and many that are not spoken. And we just present them to you in faith and believe, Lord, that you're able to minister to each and every one. We commit them to you, Lord. We pray that you would be the God who eases suffering tonight. You'd be the one, Lord, who just allows healing virtue to flow to each one. Father, we just commit the needs of your people to you. Bless these that have come. And Lord, may you anoint the word tonight. Fill our cups, I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. And amen. Hosea chapter 4. Let's read verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be, like people, like priest, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. May the Lord add his blessing. You may be seated tonight. We want to remember the Morgliers tonight, Karen and David, and they're in the process of getting their house renovated, so Brother David was not actually able to stay at home. He's at a hotel. That's where they had to go for a week, and so that's got to be rough for them, and I just would encourage you, if you were able to reach out to them, and I don't know if they would want to come over and have a meal or something, or because they really can't do a whole lot in the hotel there. We want to remember the Drums this week. They've gone through a number of different experiences there, but with Sister Greg, they were attempting to do a biopsy on her, and they're sending her down to a specialist in Charlotte. So if you don't mind, just remember Sister Greg in prayer, and she just had a tough time over the last little while, and we just want to hold her up in prayer. Also, Sister Connie is going for a surgical procedure on her neck on Friday. That's always a serious thing when you go through something like that. She already had to have some pre-treatment done, and we just pray that the Lord will undertake for her. Her desire would be down in South Carolina with the family at the death of Brother the passing of Brother Jason's brother. And but I told her, I said, it would be good to follow through since they have the thing scheduled, and we just trust that the Lord will undertake for her. Rachel and Ben Pritchard are not here tonight. They have the kids at home, and they're just being conservative and keeping the kids inside with all of the different viral things that are out there, and flu and so forth. So they're not here tonight. They're streaming. We've got a number of folks that are streaming tonight. Also as well, Brother Stephen and John Anthony and Julian are on their way home tomorrow morning, Lord willing. And they had difficulties getting into Chivac. If you've read the update there, they were within 20 miles of Chivac. Probably looked out the window and saw it out there. However, like Brother Tom will tell you, they have a ground fog up there that is thicker than soup. And the pilots, I mean, these guys fly all the time. They fly in that terrain. They fly in those conditions. It must have been pretty bad for them not to have touched down being that close to the airport there. So they had to turn back. They waited in Bethel basically for 2 days and then had to turn around. That's not an unusual thing. I've done it before. Brother Flint Take said yesterday that he has done it, been out in Bethel for 2-3 days at a time, because there's no roads, and you just have to get on the plane and go when the plane goes, and it's all based on conditions. up there, they don't have a long sunny day where the sun will burn away the fog. They get little bits of light during the afternoon, and that's all they get. So that moisture hangs in there, and if they don't have the wind to blow it away or the sun to burn it out, it just hangs in there. That's a way of life for Alaskans. But for the boys, I know they were disappointed at not being able to land in Chivac, but they've had some good fellowship in Anchorage and in their time up there. And I think as Steve has ministered three or four times up there, so, you know, the Lord knows what he's doing. And I've taught the boys, and I've done the same thing myself, that when you leave home, before you do anything else, you just pray and give God the trip. And that's the best thing you can do. Just give the Lord all the arrangements, all the landings and takeoffs, all the pilots, everybody who's involved in this trip. From the beginning to the end, we give it all to you. And so there's no point in shaking your fist at an airline attendant or anything else. This is all in God's hands. And so I told the boys, I said, hey, you know, we just trust that in some way or another, God knows exactly what he's doing. And even if we don't always understand it, God knows what he's doing. And they come back safe. And so we're praying that they will make it back tomorrow, all the way back. So having said that, I thought tonight, I just had it on my heart. I knew we were going to be a little select in numbers here. And I thought it would be just good for us to dig into a little study here that I've been wanting to do for a long time. And I'm going back to start in the series of sermons that Brother Branham preached right at the very end of 1962, and I have the one here, Sirs, Is This a Time? And then coming through in the opening of the seals in March and all the way out in the 1963. I've been looking for certain things there, and I want you to, I would encourage you to get that book, Sirs, Is This a Time? If you want to listen to it, you can. On the Hub, you can get it. In the library, it's probably available out there. We're actually working on a better library system, so we'll know what books are available out there. But if you can get your hands on it and take a look at it, I just want to give you a few bits and pieces out of it tonight here. And because you're coming into this raw tonight, I realize you don't have the book. And so I'll just kind of do a preamble tonight to get to where I want to go. Using this title, Knowledge Shall Increase, is not an unusual title. It's not something brand new. We've often used this phrase, which comes out of the book of Daniel. But I want to preface some of these comments here tonight in relation to this with a few things that are taking place in the world that I didn't get a chance to minister on Sunday. Now, in the message, World Is Falling Apart, Brother Branham says every so often the world gets in such a chaotic condition until there's nothing can help it. We've had this several times, these preludes. And let me fill in a little phrase here, the prelude to destruction, because that's what he's referring to. We've gotten to a few times in history, in the history of mankind, if you go back 6,000 years, where nothing's going to help except destruction, like the days prior to the flood. The condition exists where God can't deal with the people anymore. God can't change or move or, do signs and wonders. The people have gotten to a place where nothing really matters at this point. And the only thing that can follow this then is destruction. And we find that each time when it meets this condition, it causes people to start praying. Now, not everyone. Because like it was in the days prior to Sodom or the days prior to Noah, there was a lot of people not praying with any kind of revelation. They were not looking to God. They were looking to dispute God. But there were people on the earth who had a revelation that God was going to do something because, you know what, the conditions dictate that there's no correcting this situation. The way it looks is that there's nothing going to correct this situation. And you know what, if we keep going on the trend we're going on, God's got to judge this. And so that will set people who are spiritual to praying. And I believe that Brother Branham would be referring to us right here now in that last sentence there, that when we find such a time, and please be assured, we are at one of those times now. We are living in a prelude to destruction. Then it sets us to praying. And they feel that everything has played itself out, all of our systems and everything that we have played itself to the end. It did that in the antediluvian world. And politics and other things just come to its end where there's no more to it. And I think that's all done by God for a purpose. Watch now. to rejuvenate or to kind of bring it back. It has a way of renewing itself. And I think that's just a law of God, that these things come to that place. So I guess if we could describe it like this, here's mankind, and it dips down to a new low, and God brings it back around again, and it goes in a cycle, and back around again, and back around again. So when we look at the time when the first Exodus took place, destruction in the days of Noah, man dips down to a point where God can't deal with it anymore, and then, there's new life comes out on the earth and comes back again. It's kind of a rejuvenating or a rebirthing of things on the earth again. And it has a way of renewing itself because it's following a law of God, following a principle of God. Okay? And he says, I think that's just the way that it is. And Christ's first advent, we could say the world was falling apart. Christ's first advent. Now, without going into details, I was listening to Brother John's sermon on Sunday night very carefully, and it kind of opened up a whole bunch of things for me just thinking about the history that I've read about that time, because the diaspora, or the exile, when the children of Israel were taken away by Nebuchadnezzar to Babylon, and they came back eventually after 70 years, that really changed a lot of things. That was really quite a significant event. And I don't think we've really explored all of the effect of all of that. It really was quite a thing. Brother Branham said they went out with a faith that was based on Old Testament law, and things were still relatively pure. But when they come back, they had been changed. Their thinking had been changed. And the way they put together the law and now added the oral law to that, it really did change things quite a lot. That's why when Jesus came, he came in a confrontational way. He met those religious people because they had been so influenced by the thinking of the Babylonians in the exile. They'd mixed things together with their original faith that Jesus couldn't get anywhere with them. I mean, it was he had some pretty harsh words for those people. And Brother Bram said, in Christ's first advent, we could say the world was falling apart. So you have a religious atmosphere, a very contradictory religious atmosphere in the days of Jesus. But you also have this overarching problem of the Romans in control. And they're not exactly cooperating with God's program. They're not exactly in harmony with God in the sense that they're asking God to guide them and asking God to lead them. They're just kind of doing whatever Caesar says, right? Their orders come out of Rome. Now, God uses all of that to fulfill his plan, right? God's not foiled by Caesar. But Rome is operating on its own set of priorities and its own values and its own, its own ways of doing things. And they're interested in collecting taxes. And most of those soldiers are interested in going home. They don't care about the Middle East. They don't care about Jerusalem. They don't care about all these guys like Barabbas who are out there trying to cut their head off at every turn. They sleep with one eye open, when they go to bed at night. Hey, there's a lot of unrest in the Middle East. There's a lot of things that are in turmoil. And that's why Brother Branham says we could say the world was falling apart. It was a corruptible time in politics because everybody was compromising, trying to stay alive, compromising with the Romans and the high priests and the systems there. The systems had become corrupted. They had mingled and injected man-made theories and religion, and the world was falling apart. But God gave them a Messiah, but they didn't want it the way he sent it. Imagine, in the worst of times, God did the best of things. And the people are like, hey, I gotta go work today, and I gotta, half of what I catch in the net goes to Caesar today if I can get away with it, and if not, three quarters of it goes on. And right in the middle of all that unrest and the world falling apart, the Messiah comes. And the people are like, yeah, right. But it did happen anyway. So let's take that now and turn it right into our time. Welcome to the age of nuclear instability. This is a headline in the New York Times after last week, when the United States pulled out of the INF treaty that banned short-range missiles and medium-range missiles in Europe and Eastern Europe and so forth. Those missiles were completely banned. The American government knew that the Russians were going ahead and making those missiles out there. There was an awful lot of new money and technology that's been poured into missiles that were essentially banned. And so the Americans backed out, so they said, well, hey, if they're researching and deploying missiles out there, we want to do it too. The only way we can do it, if there's a treaty in place, is to disband the treaty so we're not violating law. Does that make sense? Okay? So the whole thing is banned. Now, let me tell you, geopolitically, there's a whole lot of consequences to that. Because now you got all these generals that are looking at this screen and they're saying, now there's no restraints. There's nothing that holds anyone back. Let me give you a couple of quotations about what they're saying. Okay, just very briefly here. A report issued by the Director of National Intelligence last week recognized that the risk of interstate conflict, including among great powers, so this would be Russia, China, and America would be the great powers. Then you have the wild cards like North Korea, Pakistan, and India. And, of course, you have Israel, also is nuclear armed. The risk of interstate conflict, including among great powers, is higher than at any time since the end of the Cold War. The threat of state and non-state use of weapons of mass destruction will only now continue to grow. So the threat is real, and it's growing. So you have France and England in there who are, they possess nuclear weapons, nuclear capability, as well as others, a couple of other nations as well. There's only a handful of them, really, that are capable of doing any destruction. However, the problem that they see is that if there are no restraints and there's no treaties in here, you know what? We're wide open here. And so this is a very precarious situation. Now you say, well, you know, Brother Barry, it doesn't affect me because somehow or another I feel like I'm immune because I live in North America and nothing's really going to happen. Okay, you're fine if you want to believe that. Let's go a little bit further. Brother Branham says this. Now watch the consistency Brother Branham has here. In Sirs, we would see Jesus. We're at the end time, my brother, and hearts are failing for fear. Sputniks in the skies. One extra drink of vodka. Vodka is the drink of Russians. Okay, it's the favored common drink of Russians here. So he's referring to Russia. Now just pause. In 1958, there were not a lot of other nations who had nuclear capability. Okay, so Britain, France, China, they didn't have nuclear capability. It was really a Cold War standoff between the U.S. and Russia, the Soviet Union back then. So this is the standoff that they had back then. But Brother Branham said, one extra drink of vodka could pull a little lever and we'd be powder in 2 minutes. And the world would fly plumb into the sun yonder. That's what the scripture predicts it'll do. But remember, the church will go home before that happens. And everybody said, it'd be something to see, but I'll pass. So now technology has changed, right? Now, if there's an incoming missile on the way, everybody say, Hawaii. If there's an incoming missile on the way, everybody frets, because everybody knows. Your phone's going to go off, your watch is going to go off, everything is going to go off if there's a missile headed for this place, right? And this is a different deal now. It's kind of a different scenario now. But what Brother Bam is simply saying to us is that the Scripture is determining certain things. The Scripture has dictated certain things. You know what? They're going to happen. And there is a bomb, Brother Branham said, that has America's name on it, so it's going to come from somewhere. And even if it's a mistaken launch, it's going to happen from somewhere. Now, he says in Escape Hither, Come Quickly, 1958 again, but the oncoming judgments, the world is feeling it. The oncoming judgments, the world is feeling it. I've heard that in the Pentagon. I don't know, but they say that they don't know what to do. Well, there's only one book that can direct you on what to do, and that's God's Bible. Lift up your head, look up. There's no way of escape. If you're on earth, guess what? You're going to be affected. Right? If nuclear war starts, guess what? Even if you live in Hickory or somewhere, you're going to be affected by what happens, by what goes on. It's already come into the hands of men that they can destroy the world in an hour if they want to. So the prelude to destruction is very real. Everybody feeling good? Didn't mean to ruin your night here, but let's pick up. Now remember now, whenever we talk about this, remember what Brother Branham just said, that the bride is in glory before the bomb strikes. Okay, so we'll be in another body. He says, what would hinder Russia this afternoon, some of those leaders, to drink one can of vodka too much and punch a button that would send the entire world out of its orbit? And wouldn't contrary the scripture a bit, wouldn't violate the scripture at all, because we're at the end time and certain things have got to happen. And one of the things that's got to happen is that the earth has got to right itself somehow, because everything is going back to perfection. Right now we're in a state of imperfection, right? geologically, we're in a state of imperfection. And this is very real. And Brother Bram said, when things like this happen, and it may happen in a way that nobody expects, it is not going to be contrary to Scripture. That's what he's saying in the bottom here. It's not. It'll affect the whole world, but it won't be contrary to Scripture. So this is what God's intending. This is what God has already stated, and the prophets have already said. Again, I'm being a little repetitive here. 1958 again. Do you realize this is a searching out time? This may be the last gospel message that's preached before the message begins tonight. You know, the bomb may strike the earth. And there isn't a thing to keep it from being so. They're set. They're ready. All it takes is a few drinks of vodka, and here it would come. And the only thing that holds it off right now is the grace of God trying to get His church together. That's us. 1958, here we are, what? How many years is that? 50 years? 30? How many years from? 61 years. Here we are now, 61 years up the road. Imagine if Brother Branham was here tonight. Right? If he was here tonight and looking at the readiness of the church, I wonder what he would say about us. I wonder what he would say about the bride of Christ around the earth here. But that's what God's held all of this up. So in other words, when we go over in the book of Revelation and we find there's four angels that are holding the winds of strife back on the four corners of the earth, what are they holding it back for? They're holding it back so you and I can obtain and build, get built up in the most holy faith, and we can have our bodies change and walk off the face of the earth. Right? So here's a prophet now. He's warning us, and it's over and over again. We got dozens and dozens of statements like this where he warns us. Now, for those of you that did not possibly believe what I said about nuclear weapons being operated on 5 1/4 floppy disks, this is your moment, okay? If you want to, after church, you want to download this link right here. This is a page that was put up in January 2019 by the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists, and they are... They did an absolutely tremendous job. I'm talking about this whole issue of upgrading the nuclear missile program. One of the reasons why this is now an issue is because they couldn't really do it if there were treaties in place. But now they can go at it wholesale. The catch is that to upgrade these systems, and there are about, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9, 10 articles that are on this page here. They're really, really interesting. And they're really, I didn't read them all. I just glanced through some of them there. They're really interesting because they talk about the current state of all of this in the world. And if you're a nuclear nut or you're a nuclear person, you know, a person who likes to read about oncoming destruction and blowing up the world and everybody being killed and so forth, this is your moment. This is where you need to go because it's got tremendous data and information there. It describes where we are and where we're going to. The problem is with this is that it costs literally trillions of dollars. You remember the big line of pallets full of $100 bills, right? Trillions of dollars to update all of this outdated equipment because the Russians and the Chinese are already way ahead because they didn't worry about the treaties at all. They've been working on this for years. And so now we, in a sense, we've come from behind the eight ball and we're playing catch up on these systems here. And there's an awful lot of money now being poured into this wholesale big time, and it's happening here. In a sense, we're back at another Cold War. And this is what you're watching now. This is what you're seeing now in the, when I call it the geopolitical spectrum. In other words, you know, all over the world there's political entities and nations that are all kind of jostling for positions of power. You know, there's an article in there about the invisible submarines, and they're talking about how that, you know, technology should be invested in submarines because they can. Brother Branham said they can hide them anywhere. They can put them underneath any kind of pole they want, any deep part of the ocean, and the submarines now can stay down there for months. Nobody detects them. Listen, I think I've told you before, it bears repeating. I remember being with the brothers in Russia who were in the Russian Navy, who were hanging around outside of Seattle and Tacoma. And Tacoma has a naval base out there where they launch the big brand new submarines out there when they're constructed. And they would wait out there months at the bottom of the sea, just sit there. And these are brothers now who are in the message. And they would wait there until the new submarines were launched. And when they launched, every machine in the water, in the ocean, makes a sound. It's called a signature. And those Russians, as soon as they heard that submarine was taken off, they'd turn on their scanners and sonars, and they would listen for the signature. Once they recorded the signature, they'd just go home. Because now they could put that in their computer systems and everybody, everywhere in the world, could listen for that submarine signature and know there was an American nuclear-powered sub right there. And that's how they do it. And this goes on all the time. But now it's not just Russians and Americans. Now we have Chinese out there who have very powerful and very capable submarine systems and naval fleets that are able to drop those detection systems in the water. And this is ongoing all the time. So this is becoming, even if you don't hear about it, even if you're not up to date on it, and you didn't believe me about the 5 1/4 disc, now you can go and you can look at this for yourself and you can see it, and then you can come to church and I can say. Now, let me add to that this. Magnetic North just changed. I don't know if you followed this at all, but just yesterday and the day before, the scientists, or the great scientists of the world who look after this stuff, they actually moved north, magnetic north. Now, that's got to be, I mean, I'm not an expert, and I don't really know. This is an article that was in National Geographic. It's really interesting. If you want, I can send you the link for matter of fact, the link is right there. The link is right here. So when you take a compass and you stand around and it points north, if you followed that a couple of days ago, you would get to a place that was not marked as the North Pole. Matter of fact, it's moving quite fast. This is really blowing some of your minds, I can tell. Some of you are saying, how do I get out of here? How do I get out of this? Is the service over yet? Because the Earth is actually moving. And the reason why the Earth is moving is because the center of the Earth is full of sloshing, hot, liquid material. You know, and it's going like this. And it's moving. Wow. That'll affect you. It's moving in such a kind of a faster pace and different things that are taking place on the Earth that it actually is throwing the Earth on its axis to a different place. Now, Brother John would probably do, or you know, some of our engineers here would probably do a much better job at explaining this. So I'm not gonna do this, off the top of my head because that would be very short. Magnetic North has never sat still. In the last 100 years or so, the direction of which our compasses steadfastly point has lumbered ever northward, driven by the Earth's churning liquid outer core, some 1,800 miles beneath the surface. So as the Earth is spinning, like my head is, there's fluid underneath there that's moving, and in recent years, scientists noticed something unusual, that magnetic north's routine plot has shifted into high gear. So scientists now are noticing this is moving much faster, sending it galloping across the northern hemisphere, and no one can really explain why. So this has become a mystery. So Google and Magellan and all the companies that deal with locations and GPS, they've all upgraded their systems, and with the satellites that are up there that monitor marks on the Earth and things, and they've actually now officially shifted magnetic north because the Earth is moving. The changes have been so large that scientists began working on an emergency update. They do update World Magnetic North. They do update it every now and then. But the changes have been so large, they were working on an emergency update for the World Magnetic Model, the mathematical system that lays the foundation for navigation, cell phones, the ships. Obviously, ships need to have a fairly accurate compass setting, right? Or if you're flying a rocket to the moon, it would be nice to know kind of where you are, just like the sailors needed to know on the ocean. And from cell phones and ships to commercial airlines, now the wait for a new north is over. And the World Magnetic Model update was officially released on Monday. Magnetic North can again be precisely located for people around the world. So when you hold your compass now, it's going to actually point to a different place than what it pointed to before Monday. Imagine moving the North Pole. We know, this is what this scientist said at the Los Alamos National Lab, we know that the pole is now moving faster than it has for decades. But how often does that happen in the long historical record? We don't have any idea. What we know is what it's doing now is different, and that's always exciting scientifically. So we don't know what's happening, but something's happening, and we're excited. Now, let me tell you something. They're excited for the wrong reason. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. We know what's going on. We know what's taking place. The earth is actually groaning and craving, pulling for that day to get back to its rightful place. So scientists are there acknowledging, and all I'm doing is saying that, this day, these scriptures are being fulfilled where these things are going back into their rightful place. Now, again, I'm not a scientist, and I'm not knowledgeable about all of this stuff. I'm just repeating to you the things that they're seeing out there, and they conclude different things than we do. And they worry about global warming, and they worry about melting polar ice caps and all the rest of it, and everything is changing. And it is, but I will tell you this. It's not changing for the reasons they say. It's going back to where it belongs for you and me. A prophet like unto Moses, Brother Bram says, and notice, even nature itself is calling for that day. Nature is groaning. So it's all happening. And he said, everything seems to be out of cater, and the stars are not in their orbits as they should be, and everything seems to be out of cater. It's all waiting, groaning for that day of perfection when our Lord Jesus shall come and perfect everything that's imperfected. You know what? God's done with imperfection. God's getting fed up with it. God's finished with it. And he's bringing it back to a place of perfection. Now, I don't want to interfere. I don't want to presume too much. But if that's the case, God is shaking things even within the church. God doesn't mind shaking things even within the church and among the bride. Because he's fed up with imperfection. And God is dealing with us, I think, in ways that are different than how he dealt with us before. I can tell you, he's dealing with me in a different way. And I'm looking at simplifying some things. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just saying for me, sometimes you can get so involved and so caught up with things. And I just feel like scaling back so I can be less encumbered. I was sitting here Sunday night. I had 39 texts during service last night. Just when John was speaking there, I had 39 texts from ministers during the 1 hour that we had service here. And it's just a constant, not that that's a bad thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but there's just so many demands, and so many things taking place in the world and so many things going on. And I'll tell you what, to me, my heart's cry is just, I just want to simplify it. I normally turn off my phone. I don't even bring it out. I don't even have it with me. If you want to check, I don't have it with me here because I'm glad that I don't. But on Sunday night, I had it with me for a reason. I could just feel it going off, here. All for legitimate reasons. But and let me tell you something. It's just a constant, you're just constantly being pulled by different things here. Brother Bram said there's lots of voices to pay attention to, but there's one really that is worth it. And he said that's the voice of God speaking to you. So I'm just, for myself, I'm not telling you what to do, and I'm not suggesting anyone change your program or get rid of your phone and go buy a flip phone. Good luck. If you find one, let me know. But I will tell you something. It's just, we live in a world where there's more distractions than there ever has been, and it just does not seem that it's going to go away. It just seems like it's going to continue. And I, for one, I'm fed up with it. You can't pray correctly. You can't pray like you used to. You can't focus like you used to. You can't try to read something like you used to. It's just driving me crazy. So, 1960, here again, Brother Branham says in Watchman Watt of the Night, men go right on living, they look up in the face of God, and they deny there's such a thing as hell, and they're sitting on a pot of it here, falling volcanics, and the earth is all out of cater. The whole thing is changing. He says everything is changing. Here's a prophet now. For what it's worth, he's a prophet. He's not a weatherman. He's not a geologist. He's a prophet. And he's catching something here. And he's not giving it in scientific terms. He said there's just something yearning and crying for perfection here, and it's all out of cater. So I believe that Noah would have said similar things. Enoch would have said similar things. The whole thing's out of cater. This thing's going down, boys. They just knew. And science says the earth out in the sea, it's becoming more shallow at the North Pole, becoming deeper because the earth is spreading out. It's just about ready to be delivered. And people see these things. People see these things and they look in the face of God and say, oh, well, you know, I believe it this way and I believe it that way. Be quiet and let God speak what's true. So what we're after then is this. Because God warned the people in the book of Hosea that my people are destroyed for a lack of the right knowledge. They're not destroyed because they don't have the latest cell phone. They're destroyed because they don't have the discernment and the wisdom and the understanding that comes from God. That's what they don't have, right? There's the compromise. And as we read in the book of Hosea here, God has made it known. He sent you prophets. He's given you the laws and the commandments and the principles and the guidelines of His word, and you've turned away from it. He says, like prophet, like the priest, like the people, He says, you've all just turned away from it. You love your iniquity, and you just go on your way anyway. You really don't care. So God says, hey, I'll visit you. I know how to take care of this. I know how to deal with this. And so if people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, obtaining the right kind of knowledge is going to do you good. Right? They're destroyed because of a lack of understanding. Right back in the first recorded sermon Brother Branham made, he said, this day we're living in, it's such a day of unsettled peace and unsettled rest everywhere. 1947, people are running to and fro, seeking what they may seek. Most anybody can get a following, no matter what they teach or think. Somebody will listen to them. It's a day that the prophet spoke of. Now, this is a day, Brother Ram's got all kinds of people in tents rolling around, and Billy Sunday, and, different ministers that are out there, Oil Jaggers, and Oral Roberts got a tent, Billy Graham's got a tent, Jack Cole's got a tent. Lots of people are out there. Ernest Ainsley is out there, and they're all, building ministries, and they're all moving towards television, bigger crowds, and all the rest of it. It's all developing and unfolding here. And Brother Graham said, they're all running. They all got their own message. I think real true ministers of the gospel ought to be up and going, ought to be giving the people the right things. There is a right thing, and there's a whole bunch of wrong things. So we better be doing the right things. So our job then is to help chart the course in changing times, because that's where we are. One of the things, very simply here and very quickly, one of the ways we know we're living at that time is the increase, the rapid and dramatic increase of immorality in our time, right? The infallible voice of Jesus Christ warned us to watch the days of Noah and compare it with the day that we live in. Brother Branham said, when we see that, then we know, bottom line, we know the flashing light of His coming is near. So we have a whole generation that is plugged into something very different than the previous generation. I thought this was funny. Granddad, in your day, what did you do when your server was not responding? I thought that was really great, because we're talking two different worlds here. The second thing that happens is the increase, a dramatic increase in greed, where we have less than 1% of the world's population who own more than half of the world's wealth. And the financial reality is not how it's portrayed, not how the government wants you to think. And Brother Branham picks this up, and he says, we find greed in the church, in politics, and in national affairs. We find that it's this way. I don't understand a whole lot about economics. I understand enough to be dangerous with it. But I will tell you this, that there are patterns that economists look at, and they can see the way that things are moving and the trends and how the thing is swinging and so forth. Any good economist who's worth his salt, who's worth his weight at all, is going to tell you that the situation, we've moved out into waters that are not normally sailed upon, because we've extended ourselves so far. And now, we used to think, especially in American government, we used to think that, we will engage other nations and so forth and accumulate debt, and then we'll pay that off, and then we'll go in debt and pay that off. Now it's not this payoff thing. Now it's just debt that increases and increases and increases. And we, common sense will tell you, you can't do that forever. Brother Bam said, now if this was all I had, he said, in this world, I'd be a miserable person. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. That's where our treasures lay. That's where the real investment should be, is for that purpose. The third thing that is important to look at is this concept of knowledge and how Daniel warned us that it would increase in the last day. This is not the spiritual knowledge and discernment that we need to have. This is the knowledge that the world enjoys. Brother Branham said in Super Sign, right here in the last 50 years, he's gone from a horse and buggy. He said for about 5,000 years, man has kind of moved at a similar pace until the last 50 years or so. Now we're at about 100 years. And he said, now we've gone to jet rocket and so forth. Why? The Bible said they would run to and fro in the last. He said it's a sign of the end time. So now we have the IoT, the Internet of Things. Now, I'm not an expert on this, but this is kind of a thing where all of us find ourselves. You know, in my day, we all sat around and made fun of people who were geeks. Now we're paying them a whole lot of money to sit down and, can you explain this to me? And can you explain that to me? I need to make an appointment with you. And, you know, they have 40 or 50 pens in their pocket, and they're just kind of looking at you, and they say, you know, like, you don't understand how to do this. Let me show you. And they just sit there and get it all figured out. We're kind of become dependent on them because everything we do now, whether you book a plane ticket, whether you pump gas, whether you swipe your card or check your bank balance online, whatever you do, you're involved in the Internet of Things. Everyone who's streaming tonight is involved in the Internet of Things. This is not a situation now where they say, even like in universities, a lot of what you're going to need to learn to become an engineer pretty soon is going to be all totally online pretty soon. So you can do major things online these days, and we're all connected online together. Junction time. Brother Bram says, now the prophets prophesied of things that they didn't know what they were talking about. They just said them, didn't understand. Daniel said that he couldn't understand, but he just wrote it out because it wasn't for his day. The angel told him to close the book until the end time. Many would run to and fro. Knowledge would increase. And at that time, he'd stand in his lot at the end time, and all things would take place. Well, the two major things that we're concerned about here in relation to Brother Bram's quote is that knowledge increases, and we got that, right? We've got that, where everything is increasing, and it's going through the roof, whereby the number of connected people, the amount of money that's being made, the number of apps that are done every day, the number of gigabytes that are accumulating, the data that's out there accumulating, and all the rest of it has gone through the roof. And so knowledge will increase. Now they kind of have trouble even keeping up with the knowledge that they've created. But at the same time, there's another kind of knowledge that's available that the world really doesn't care about. And you know what? You don't need a screen to tap into it. You don't need a screen to tap. Imagine, young people, hear me. Listen, believe me. It's called a book. And you don't need, you don't charge it. It has no cables. This is not on Wi-Fi. It's a book. And God has made it so that we can enjoy the electronic transfer of quotes and so forth. You know what? I think it's great that we're able to do that. I sit in my office there and I beam that to the internet, the service tonight, beam it out there on the cloud, wherever that is. And it comes down in the booth back there, and then they channel it back up through here, and you get it. All of that is done, you know, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that we have it, because I used to have to back it up on a drive, walk down to the people in the booth, and I mean, technology is tremendous. Now, you know, they can download a sermon on the hub in Africa, send it to China. Manuscript is there. Have it printed. No one is in contact with each other. No one's physically in contact with the other. And you know what? I'm thankful for that, because they don't have to put it in the mail and lick the stamp and send it off in the post office and wait 3 weeks and hope it gets there. And they don't have to do any of that anymore. They can do that now. Within an hour, they can have a manuscript that's translated, uploaded to the web. Everybody in the world can access it. They can send it with the it's set up. When it's immediately loaded onto the message hub, it goes into five formats there. They can take whatever one they want, ship it off to China or wherever they want to get the book printed. They can tell them in China, print so many copies, so use this kind of paper and so forth. They just run it through their printing presses, through their computers, comes out on the other end. They put it in a crate, put it on a boat, send it over to Africa. And they got it. A whole lot different than what it used to be. And I'm thankful for that technology, because I don't have to go up to Vancouver. I don't have to go to Africa. Then they go to China. Then back to Africa again and make sure everything's working all right. This happens within the hour. And then they start printing it. And, of course, it comes over in a few weeks. God's made it so that we have access like that. We have technologies that we can use like that. But even if we don't have it, we still have this. we still have forms whereby we can enjoy God's Word. That's the knowledge that would increase. Now, we realize in the Garden of Eden, Brother Ram said, when they tasted the tree of knowledge, they broke off relationship with the tree of life. You can't have both. You can't live off one and the other at the same time. In other words, one of them's got to be your absolute, one of them's got to be your priority, right? That's all I'm saying. And we drive a car, but we believe the message. So it looks like we're tapping into both trees, but you know what? We don't worship the car, right? Are we okay? Are you okay? You understand what I'm saying? So when man went for the tree of knowledge and good and evil, they broke off their relationship with the tree of life. And since then, man has went after knowledge and destroys himself every time. He bites from that tree, gunpowder, automobiles, atomic bomb, knowledge, internet pornography, everything else that goes with it. Truly the prophet Daniel said they'll run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. So this does not have its origin in the days of Daniel. It has its origin right from the beginning when the fall occurred. So let me skip on again now to serve this the time. So now here's Brother Branham. In 1962, he's come through some important series in his ministry. Spoken Words, the Original Seed. Daniel, 70 weeks. Come through the book of Hebrews. He's come into 1962. He's got an acute sense that something is changing. Brother Ram's got experience with how God deals with him because he went through the first pull and the second pull. And he knows again now that something's changing. He knows without being able to identify fully what it is that he's going into, but he knows he's going into something different than what he's been into already. God is moving him up higher on the ladder. And Brother Branham says now, this may be the answer here. He says, I don't know. Well, what's he talking about? Let me just fill you in on this little passage here, this little sentence that Brother Branham, I'm starting off with. Brother Branham had people around him that were, some of them were spiritual people, had visions and dreams and different things that had taken place in their lives, and they would write those things down. Brother Branham taught him, write them down, tell them to me, and send them to me. And he said, we'll take a look at them. And in this particular season, there were several people that came to him with dreams and so forth. You remember one of them where Brother Branham said there was a whole bunch of us up on top of the mountain, and he said, we were all gathered around there, and you were there, and the brother said, you took a crowbar, and he said, you whacked at the peak of the mountain there, and when you knocked off the top of the rock, there was a white stone there, and he said, there was writing on it. He says, you were interpreting that writing that was on the rock. And all of a sudden, he said, you were distracted, and you looked out west. And Brother Branham said to the brothers there, stay here and look on this. Just stay here and look on this. And Brother Branham took off and went, followed the sun and went out west. And Brother Branham said, but the people didn't stay and look at what was on the rock. They didn't stay with the word. And he said, he was the man who had a dream. He's looking off here. Brother Branham's gone off here. And the people were, they began to wander and began to take what they thought was going on and went off in different directions here. They didn't follow what Brother Branham said. So Brother Branham's realizing there are things happening here that are going to cause me to know things that people have never known before. And it's also going to move me in different places, different positions, and so forth. He's seeing this, but it's not all happening yet. It's only happening by warning. God's warning him by dreams and visions that people have and different experiences. And then so he says, I went around, and he says, some brothers who were here with me, he says, I went and I was looking around, and he said, I saw... So we were doing revivals, he said, in the country. He says we were taking off and we're going to different places and holding meetings. And he says there were great meetings. He said there were crowds and lots of people there, lots of things happening. He said it was exciting, but he said it just didn't have the ring to it that I was looking for. Religious meeting? Hey, Brother Bam's got a reputation by now, right? He's got a person who's got a gift. That gift has been exercised. It's been recorded. He's got his picture in the Library of Congress, as a supernatural being that's accompanying him. He's among churches, even without the means of communication that we have today. Brother Branham, he was a very popular person. Lots of people wanted him in 1961, 62. They wanted him to come to their church. They wanted him to come and bring that gift to their area and see what would happen. They did a lot of things to try to get Brother Branham to go to different places here. So Brother Branham said, we're out on the road, we're doing things. And he said, as we're doing this, he says, just not the ring to it that should be. He's just not comfortable with the sound of all of this. God's allowing these meetings to go on, and you know, this is happening and this is happening and so forth. But he said, this may not be the answer here. Continuing to do those kinds of meetings where we have the first and second pull in operation, he said, that might not be the answer. In other words, we may be coming to something different. Look at the title of the sermon. Is this what the Bible talks about as the end? Are we really there? And if we're really there, then God's got things to say. God's got things to unveil. God's got things to reveal. If we're really at the end, God's got some important stuff to do because he's got to wrap up all of this loose end stuff and give us a clear picture, give us rapturing faith, because there's supposed to be a rapture. They believe there's going to be a rapture at the end of this thing. Rapture is going to require rapturing faith. Rapturing faith comes because of what you're hearing, right? They never had it through the ages. If they had rapturing faith through the ages, wouldn't their bodies have been changed? They wouldn't have died. So in the last day, the church believed and expected there would be a rapture. Therefore, there would have had to be rapturing faith so that we could be changed. Paul says, let me show you a mystery. Right? This is Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. So someone's got to fulfill that. Paul obviously didn't. Luther didn't. Wesley didn't. But somebody's got to. And now Brother Bram's asking the question, wow, are we at the end? If we're at the end, somebody's got to play an important role. Is that me? This is the kind of things he's asking here. So this becomes a very important moment for Brother Branham right in the end of the year, just before New Year's there. And he says, this may be the answer here. I don't know. He says, you all been here last Sunday. Many Sundays you people here get the tapes, you understand things. He was talking about the dreams, the visions that people had. Because now I'll just strike these places. And he said, you watch it. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Sirs, is this it? You know. And Brother Branham's, he's learned by experience that I'm going to keep doing the same thing until God redirects me. I'm not just going to quit. I'm not just going to lay down the gift here. I'll carry on until God tells me to do something different. And so I'm asking the question, though, sirs, is this it? I believe that the seventh angel of Revelation 10 is the church age messenger of Revelation 3:14. Notice what he just did. He took two loose ends and put them together. Because that's what his ministry really is now. And he's coming into the perfection of that. And he wants us to really understand clearly that this church age angel, Revelation 3:14, is not just a messenger like Luther and Wesley and them, but this man is also, the prophet of Revelation chapter 10, seventh angel. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, right? The mystery of God shall be finished, as he has declared unto his servants, the prophets. So all of a sudden now we got the word prophet in Revelation chapter 10. Brother Branham takes that and Revelation 3:14, ties it together and said, that's the same person. And he's making that very clear. In this sermon, he makes it very clear. Now, he quotes Zechariah chapter 12, and this is, you know, the sounding of the last day. When is the gospel returning to the Jews? When the day of the Gentiles is finished, the gospel is ready. So according to the Bible, prophetically for the Jews, God turns back to them, but God cannot until Joseph's wife's put in the palace. And this great thing is fixing to happen. We'll carry over to Revelation 11 and pick up these two prophets, Elijah and Moses, returning back again for the Jews. We're ready for it. Everything is setting in order, just ready. Gentile message, as the Jews brought it to the Gentiles. The Gentiles will take it right back to the Jews again, and then the rapture will come. He's got it in his mind. He's got it. He has understanding that certain things have got to happen among the Gentiles to conclude things there before it goes back to the Jews again. But according to Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11, it's got to go back to the Jews again. Right? Revelation 11 goes back to the Jews again. Are you with me? I'm almost done. So here's Brother Branham again. Sirs, is this the time? The seventh angel of Revelation 10:7 is the seven church age messenger. Is anyone unclear? I can say it again. Why don't I? The seventh angel of Revelation 10:7 is the seventh church age messenger. He's wanting us to be real sure that this is not just a messenger like Wesley and Luther and Irenaeus and Martin and so forth. But this is a prophet, and the word of the Lord comes through a prophet. And if that's the case, then God can do through that ministry what he needs to do to conclude things to the Gentiles. Notice his type of message. Notice this person's message. It wasn't to the first angel, Paul, wasn't given that. Second angel, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. But it is the seventh angel that had... Does that make you dizzy if I go back and forth like that? Probably rather I didn't. Notice his type of message. Never had it through the ages. Is a finishing or concluding all the mysteries of God that are written in the book. Seventh angel is winding up. He's concluding. He's finishing. He's completing. He's given us the understanding of all of those things we never understood. That's laying loose-ended all out through those organizations and denominations. Seventh angel gathers them up, finishes the entire mystery. Now, let me say again, he's either really right or he's really wrong, one or the other. But remember now, he's on this side of the seals. If this is the opening of the seals in Mark 63, Brother Bram's over here in 62. He's not there yet. He doesn't know what we know when he's saying this. When he's saying this, he doesn't know what we know. We know what the form of this perfection of his ministry is going to look like. It's going to, I mean, this is the pillar of fire himself comes in the room and says, that's what the first seal means, and that's what the second one means, and that's what the third one means, and gives them all of those seals, gives them understanding of all of that. And now the book becomes open. It becomes a new book. Now, rapturing faith is now accessible to the believers now who go on and lay in the presence of the Son and ripen and mature. Anybody with me tonight? All of this was for us to be able to benefit from the opening of the book that would come at the end of his ministry. But here, I'm in 64 over here. 62, he's looking at it. He's looking at this. And he's asking the question, is this the time? I mean, is this it? And am I him? And are you the people we're supposed to hear all this? Has God made a mistake? Has God got a sense of humor? Is this really that? The seventh angel gathers all those loose ends together, finishes that entire mystery. Brother Branham says about the Apostle Paul, he says, notice, each age had his messenger. Paul was the first messenger. And what did he do? He declared war on the Orthodox Church for not believing the Messiah sign that Jesus had produced to them. He said they should have known it. You know what Paul did? He tied together the loose ends of the Old Testament. Because he was a prophet, right? Paul looks at these prophecies back there in the Old Testament, and he looks at them and says, oh, that's Christ, that's Christ. Pull this together here, and pull this together here. That's Christ, that's Christ. Because he had a revelation that Jehovah of the old is Jesus of the new. And he's pulling, and as he does that, like Brother John was saying on Sunday night, he goes in, he picks up, Paul goes into the synagogues, and he goes among the learned people of his day. He picks up on what they've got right, but he begins to take them a little further in Revelation. What does it do? Tears up the place. I mean, in some places, they got to lure them in a basket off the wall and get them out of town secretly because they're ready to kill them. I mean, there's some people that are ready to stone him just like they tried to stone Jesus because they couldn't understand it. And you know what he's doing? He's just taking loose ends here and loose ends here, tying that together and said, that means that. Because he's got authority. He's a prophet. And he's doing this under the inspiration, the prophetic utterance of Almighty God, because this is what he's got. So you got a messenger at the first age, and you got a prophet at the first age, and a prophet at the last age, and Brother Bram's doing the same thing. I was saying, I've said many times to other ministers, when you read a person like Arthur W. Pink, A.W. Pink, was an old minister in Scotland years ago, great minister. Brother Bram said at one point, he said he was a member of the Bride of Christ. And I have books in my library here by A.W. Pink, several books. Brother Branham, when he passed away, Brother Branham had The Sovereignty of God by A.W. Pink on his bedstand. Because The Sovereignty of God is a classic book written by A.W. Pink about predestination and foreordination and so forth. But A.W. Pink could not really... He was pulling the loose end this way and pulling it this way because... He understood about predestination. He understood Ephesians chapter 1. But he couldn't figure out over in the book of Romans where Paul said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And he couldn't put those two together. Because the one, having not done neither good or evil, yet God loved the one and not the other one, and yet it's not based on works and so forth. And he couldn't, somehow or another, he couldn't put that together. And he died not knowing how those two things went together. And Brother Branham comes along and says, oh, he says God had attributes. And he begins to explain about attributes. And it takes Pink's dilemma and just lengthens the rope a little bit. Brother Branham ties it together and says, here you go. God had attributes. And ties that together and says that's how he could predestinate, because he could foreknow all things. Because how could his sons deny him? You know, how could... That's not God having a family. It's God becoming a family. So it's God. Hey, look. Go home with this. You're not just an offspring of God. A part of God is actually in you. If I understand the message right, a part of God is actually in me. That means that I have eternal life, right? A.W. Pink didn't preach that. A.W. Pink didn't get that because he didn't understand anything about the attributes of God or how that fit in. And Brother Ram takes it and says, oh, here, this is the way it goes. Ties it together and says, here you go. Here's predestination. He said, I think the book of Ephesians balances it all out, he says. And he gives us this understanding of the book of Revelations here, because he has a ministry of finishing, a ministry of concluding things. And when the conclusion comes, it's not mysterious anymore. It becomes clear. And so Brother Branham says, remember, Paul came at the end of the age. All messengers came at the end of the age. What was it? The sounding of a trumpet. He said that an angel, a messenger, standing there with the word. How we could go down to Irenaeus, and he said the messenger of the next age, and Martin, and he says Luther, the fifth messenger, blasted the Catholic Church. Then Wesley, he said, raised up in the days of the Anglican Church, and said, well, there's no reason to have revivals anymore. We don't need to go to church. Just stay home with my big gulper and read the scrolls and so forth. And Brother Branham said it went to seed, and then God raised up Wesley and brought them all back to church again. And Wesley stood up with the message of sanctification. Now, he says, we're in the Laodicean age when they've again denominated. Nobody's kind of given us this picture before. And when they've again denominated, we're looking for a prophet to come to blast this age and turn them back from their iniquity, which is exactly what Hosea said. You love your iniquity and you've turned to that. God says, in my mercy, unless I smite the earth with a curse, I'll send Malachi 4 and blast everybody back from their iniquity. Guess what? Everybody didn't survive the blast. A lot of people went down. But there's a bride in the earth that survived the call of God, come out of her, my people. And that's why you're sitting there saying amen, because God knew there was something in you that would agree with the word for this day. And here's Brother Branham asking the question, is this the time? Is this the day? And so I've just been going back and listening to that. And in Brother Branham's prayer, remember this messenger was the seventh angel to take all those mysteries and gather them up. God, send us a fearless prophet. But thus saith the Lord, that the vindicated word of God will move through it and prove he's sent from God. If it's of God, it's going to blend the word together. It's going to give the bride an understanding. It's going to change the bride. It's going to pull them out of all those denominational systems. And it's going to set them apart up on a rock. And it'll give them the understanding they need to have. It'll take them all the way to the change of their body. That's where we're on our way to. Let's stand to our feet. What an exciting thing for him. But he never knew then what we know about that now. And here he is, asking the right questions, looking at the right scriptures, asking, putting it to the congregation and asking them, you know, is this where we've come to? Is this where we are? And so the people back in that age, there, I'm sure a lot of them were looking for more miracles. I mean, if miracles and discernment were involved in the first two pulls, imagine what the third pull is going to be like. Imagine the miracles we're going to see. I mean, I would think a lot of people would be thinking that way. But here comes God, and he's turning a corner. He's not building a wall. He's turning a corner. And Brother Branham's asking the question, sir, is this the time? That's what I'm saying. It's a nice message to take a look at and just see how he's thinking as he goes into this new season here. I love the message. I just love it. Let's sing a little before we close tonight. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. Let's sing it together. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do, and I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty. Again now, I worship you, Almighty God. Oh, there is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do, and I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty. So now here's Brother Branham asking the question about himself. Is this the end? And am I that person? Am I the one? Well, now Brother Branham's not around to ask that question anymore, right? He was the one. God used him. Word came open that day. But now it's okay for you to ask the question and say, are we the ones who are actually going to be changed? Are we? Is this it? And are we the ones? Is God concluding with this? No. Yeah. Is this it? Wow. Then if that's the case, then Lord, change my thinking. Give me the understanding that comes from God. Not the understanding of the best cell phone. Give me the understanding that comes from God. Give me the wisdom that God sends. Give me that. And make me a temple of God. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanks. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Once again now, oh Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a I'd like to do this tonight, closing out here. We have I mean, I've got three pieces of paper that are full of prayer requests here tonight. And I'll tell you what I'd like to do if you don't mind, if you wouldn't mind doing it. Just when we sing this little chorus here, Jesus be the Lord of all. Same key, leave it in there. If you wouldn't mind just slipping out of your pew and come up here, and let's pray for all of these needs that are here. Sister Connie Hughes has a surgery coming up here. Kristen and Annie are not here tonight. Annie has the flu, and Sister Caroline has surgery tomorrow. Brother Wayne is going through testing here. And then the McCafferty's, Sister Amber McCall in the hospital. Brother Keith is away. The Cockmans who are sick. We have Jeremy Clable who's away. Sister Mary Smith who's in pain. We got three boys who are up in the mission field in Alaska there. Got Rachel and Ben Pritchard's family. Got the Sylvesters. Got Sister Angie Pritchard who's down in Georgia. We've got the Drums. We've got Sister Greg who's going through testing, suffered for a long, long time. We've got David and Karen Morglier. And there's just a whole raft of people here. You know what? I think we should pray. I think we should pray earnestly. So if you don't mind, when we sing this, just slip up here. Let's just draw a little bit closer together physically, and let's just offer a word of prayer together. Jesus be the Lord of all. Yes, Jesus be the Lord. Jesus be, come on in here. Lord of all the kingdoms of my heart. Once again now. Oh, yes, Jesus be the Lord of all. Oh, Jesus be the appropriate, lay hands on somebody next to you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we bow our hearts before you, Lord, we just look at this list of people, Lord, and there's so much sickness, Lord, and so much people are going through. And Father God, we bind our hearts together now tonight in the name of Jesus Christ and invite you, Lord, to come and to minister to these ones that are sick, Lord, and needy tonight. Those that need your comfort, those that need your presence, Lord, very near. I just commend them into your care. And Lord, we who are strong, we who have gathered here tonight, Lord, and Father, we've been edified by hearing the word of the Lord, and our faith is lifted higher, Lord, than when we came in here. And I just pray, Lord, as we look to you tonight, we believe you're a God who has ordained all things to happen, Lord, just exactly the way you planned. And Lord, denominations and leaders and different ideas and different movements, Lord, none of it has been able to stop the progress of your word, reaching your bride and calling her out. And so now we stand here, Lord, as a chosen people. And Father, you have empowered us by giving us the book. And we eat the book and we prophesy again in our time, O God. May, Lord Jesus, you just reach those people that need your touch, Lord. All those that are going through testing. Those that are suffering, Lord. And just with the thing in their mind of wondering what it is that's going on. Father, I commit them to you. And may Satan's power be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. That they might be set free, Lord. I commit them to you and pray, Lord, for your holy presence now to draw near. I give them to you, Lord, in faith. We pray, Lord, for the boys flying tomorrow and just ask, dear God, that you would just be merciful and bring them back home safely, Lord, to their families and their work. I commit them into your care, Lord. How, dear God, we are so thankful that we can turn to you. We're thankful, Lord Jesus, that we can lean upon you. And we give you the very desires of our heart, Lord, and the very needs that we have upon our lips, we give them to you in faith. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He is my... God bless you tonight as you go. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave his life. and made everything new. He is my everything. None other will do. Sing it as you go tonight. God bless you. Oh, He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave His life for me. So glad you're mercy.